our graduates, all two of them, but to others as well. This goes for everybody. And here's the key. Don't forget to take Jesus with you. Anybody ever tie those little strings on their fingers so they wouldn't forget something? Maybe we ought to do that this summer so we don't forget to take Jesus with us. A man walked into a doctor's office and he told the doctor, "Doctor, you've got to help me." And the doctor said, "Well, what's the problem?" The man says, "I'm having problems remembering anything." And the doctor said, "How long have you had this problem?" And the guy said, "What problem?" I'm sure I'm not the only person that's ever forgotten to do something. I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Anyone ever forget to press the send button and text somebody? But you're like, "Man, why hasn't this person got back with me? I'm so mad because..." And then you look and you never even sent the message to begin with. How many of you forget your passwords? Oh, man, write that stuff down. Listen, somebody once did this. They said they were going to change every one of their passwords to incorrect. That way the computer would remind them what their password is. Your password is incorrect. So, all right. Sometimes we forget birthdays. Sometimes we forget anniversaries. And it's sad how people quickly forget about you until they want something from you. One person came to the conclusion, they said this, "I finally figured out what's wrong with my brain." They said, "On the left side, there's nothing right, and on the right side, there's nothing left." Has anybody ever forgot their child in a store? It's like, "Oh no, I heard that one." People do that. People forget their kids, all kinds of, especially when you go on vacation, and I hope nobody's ever done this, where you're in another state or another country and you're having to jump on buses and stuff and get to the... How many of you remember Home Alone? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they left that child. But one of the easiest things that people do, especially at summertime, is that we forget to take Jesus with us. John Piper said, "One of the great enemies of hope is forgetting God's promises." Having to remind people is a big ministry. Matter of fact, that's what we do. It was important to Paul. It was important to Peter. Matter of fact, Peter said in 2 Peter 1:13, the NLT says it this way, "And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live." Let me tell you something. That's our ministry, mine and Matt's. It is our ministry to keep on reminding you as long as we live. Paul said this in Romans 15:15. He said, "Even so, I have been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is this reminder." He wrote Scripture knowing that that's what we would have left is Scripture. So this reminder is right here. You've got a reminder. Not only do we have it written, but me and Matt, it's our job, as long as we live, to remind you of all these things that are found in that written word. Amen. David Polson said this, "The only way we ever sin is by suppressing God, by forgetting, by tuning out His voice, switching channels, and listening to other voices. When you actually remember, you actually change. In fact, remembering is the first change." Did you know it's possible to forget Christ at Christmas? Do you know that? I think most people do. I think most people forget about Jesus. Turn to me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, this isn't the Christmas story, by no means, but I want to show you this. In Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41, Luke writes this. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. And when he, Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus, he lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it." Now how do you forget Jesus? This is God you're talking about here. The miraculous virgin birth and all that, and you would think that you would leave him? So, But they forgot him. They didn't know where he was at. Verse 44. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. See, back in those days, there was a sense of community. And I think we've lost this in our day today. What does it say that it takes a tribe to raise a child? Or all right, I'm just making sure you're listening. That's good. Thank you. Takes a village to raise a child. And that's the sense that they had. The Jews had a sense of community. And so I can understand how she forgot him, because she thought that they was just with everybody. And you could do that years ago, man. We had a sense of community and family, and everybody knew everybody. And if your child was getting in trouble down the road, yeah, you knew, mom and dad knew it by the time you got home. And so all the people in between were yelling at you on the way back. So there was a sense of community there that we have lost. And so verse 45, so when they didn't find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And so here's the idea. How can you forget Jesus? I mean, Jesus' own mother did. She forgot him. And so there are times, Christmas, one of them, is one of the busiest times of the year. And as time goes on, it gets easier and easier to think of Christmas as a joyous celebration about the greatest gift that God could give mankind. It's his son wrapped up inside of flesh. But instead of thinking about Christmas at that, it's a physical, it's a financial, and it's an emotional draining stress at that time of the year. Do you know some people hate Christmas time? A lot of people wish it's just come and go. Oh, here comes Christmas again. All the hustle and bustle. You know what? One of the most disappointing times of Christmas is I hate going through the stores. I'll tell you what, at that time of the year, that's when people are the rudest the most. Amen. Oh my good. But why aren't we so joyous? Why aren't we so happy? Because we've lost sight of Jesus. Amen. We've lost sight of Jesus at that time. And so, but there's one more time that we forget about Jesus. Not only at Christmas time, but there's one more time. You know what time that is? It's summertime. Because when it comes to summertime, we forget that, I was talking with somebody today, we forget that Jesus is the God of four seasons, not just the ones you want him to be the God of. See, even though through summer, we think of vacations and camping and cooking and, you know, all the wonderful s'mores and the marshmallows getting stuck in your beard and mustache, if you can grow one yet, and all that wonderful stuff. But we forget about Jesus, the most important person in our lives, when we go through summer. Folks, kids, teens, graduates, whomever it may concern, let me say this: don't forget to take Jesus with you this summer. Rob Peterson, would you open us up in a word of prayer, please? Amen. All right, I've only got 32 points here. It'll take a couple hours, but then we'll get to the Lord's Supper, so just hang tight. All right, I'm just kidding. I only got 5. All right, as you go this summer, number one, don't forget God's deliverance. Don't forget God's deliverance. Listen to Deuteronomy 6, verse 2. Moses wrote, "Be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt." Listen. God rescued us from slavery of the bondage of sin. We were sinners with the penalty of eternal separation from God, right? And when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he delivered you from that bondage. Amen. Now we have freedom in Christ. As you go throughout this summer and throughout your life, don't forget God's deliverance. That's probably the first thing that we can forget about. Oh, God, save me. How many people you come in contact with to say, "Hey, you need to believe in the Lord." Oh, yeah, I did that. I did that year. Yeah, I did that a long time ago. They've forgotten God's deliverance. Don't forget God's deliverance. Number two, Don't believe the lies. What do I mean by that? Well, listen to Jeremiah 13:25. The ESV says it this way. This is your lot, the portion I have measured out to you, declares the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in lies. You know, we do that so often. We think September is back to school time. Christmas is present time. Easter is lily flower time. Is that the flowers you do at Easter, lilies? That's the one. Just checking. Make sure you're awake. So you got the flowers at Easter time and summertime. That's a time of vacation, camping, summers, boats, skis, all this stuff. And so we have all this stuff that we believe. But when God says, you need to think about me every day of the week, every day of the year, 365. Listen, don't believe the lies that just Sunday is just for God and every other day or summer is for you. God says that we're to worship every day of the week. Amen. Not just one. Listen, I've told you this before and I'm going to tell it again until you guys remember this stuff. I'm here to remember as long as I live, so I'm going to say it till the day I die. If all you get, and this is most of Christianity throughout the world, if all you get is a half hour Sunday morning, a half hour Sunday night for those that even come and worship God then, and a half hour Wednesday night for those that come and do that as well. And hey, we got services here. The kids are taken care of. You come on back Wednesday. Man, we have an awesome Wednesday night program. So if that's all you get is a half hour, that's how much is that? Hour and a half a week. Okay, how much is that per month? Come on, guys. Man, you don't think you're going to come to church and think? How many? 6 hours a month. Okay, how many is that for a year? 72. Good. All right. Somebody's been paying attention. All right, so if all you get is an hour and a half a week, and you take that for a month, that's 6 hours. You take that times 12 months, that's 72 hours. Put that into perspective. You're only getting 3 days of God and 362 of nothing. Is that sinking in? Get your gerbils running, man. I don't see any smoke. Your wheels are all locked up, man. Get some WD going. So here's the idea. Don't believe the lies. God says you're to worship. You're to be daily in His Word. Daily in His Word. Every day. Not just on special days. Number three. Don't be living it up for the moment. Remember not to live it up for the moment. Listen to what Hosea 13:6 says. But when you had eaten and you were satisfied, you become proud and forgot me. You know, when things are going great, we tend to forget God. And can I tell you something? The same thing holds true when we go throughout our summer. When you're out camping, you're sitting by the campfire, and you just got back from fishing, got you a full belly of some perch or walleye or whatever you like to fish for. And you're sitting there and you're going, oh, man, what a day. This is great. And they say, I ain't got nothing going on tomorrow. I'm going to sleep in. Boy, tomorrow's Sunday. Ah, that's all right. I've spent all winter worshiping God. Summer's my time. This is good. I'm just going to relax. Don't believe the lies. And don't live it up for the moment. Listen, we're going to have all eternity to remember the things that we did for the Lord here and now. If you don't do anything for Him, what are you going to have to remember in eternity? That's much longer than the vapor trail that we're here for, as James says. Okay. So, it's not that it's wrong to have stuff, but it's the abundance of all the stuff that we want to have and we want to do. You remember that fool that God talked about in Luke 12:20? He said, I'm soul, you got many things, man. Tear these barns down, big it up, live it out, eat, drink, be merry, dude. It's summertime. And God says, you fool. You fool. But then in verse 21, He says that we become that fool also, where He points out this. Yes, and this is from the NLT. He says, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Can I tell you something? For you spending 3 months out into the world, camping and all that stuff, and you don't have any relationship with God, what's going to bring you back in September? I I mean, if you're only getting 72 hours a year, that means you got 362 to, I've only got 362 days to plan my vacations and get my campers and my boating in and my fishing in and all this stuff. And, there's a lot of days going on there. But man, don't forget about your relationship with God. That should be first. You began that relationship at salvation. And salvation doesn't stop there. It's the beginning of your relationship. And that goes on all through eternity. Don't forget. Don't just live it up for the moment. Number four, don't forget to remind ourselves. See, this is the big one. We got to remind ourselves about this stuff. Because if you don't remind you, who's going to remind you? I mean, it starts with us. The mind has great power. It can talk to itself by way of reminder. Anybody talk to yourself? I talk to myself all the time. I answer myself. I carry on great conversations. Man, one side of me is an intellectual. The other side just, a good listener. And so, woo. But listen, our mind has great power. We can call to remembrance. We can call to mind. Listen to what Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations 3, 21 and 22. He says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end." We have to recall this stuff ourselves. We have to remind ourselves. And without reminding ourselves of God's greatness and His grace and His wisdom and His power and all those things, we become like animals. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 73, 22. He says, "I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you." And instead of thinking about life in a godly way and thinking about God, he was thinking about it in a secular, faithless kind of way. What do animals do? Whatever they want to do. I mean, anybody ever own a donkey? Why do you call him a stubborn? Well, you know. Because that's what he is. He does whatever he wants to do. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. "Lord, I was like a brute. I was like an animal. I was just ignorant to you. I just treated you like animals treat other people. They just do whatever they want to do." But if we had this heart's attitude, the great change comes when we think about and we remember God, like the psalmist did in Psalm 77, verse 11 and 12. He said, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds." Remember clear back in Deuteronomy what God said we were to do with our children? We were to talk about God and His law when they get up, when they sit down, when they're eating, when they're drinking, when they're playing, all the time. Don't forget to take Jesus with you. All the time, not just at specific times. That's a great battle in my life because I fight the flesh. You know, Paul says in Galatians 5, 16, and 17, that the flesh rages war against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other so that you can't do what you're supposed to do. So in the spirit, in God's spirit, he wants to be obedient to God. But in my flesh, I want to do what I want to do. And it's a daily moment by moment battle. And I battle that. I battle remembering how good God was, how good God is, and how good God will be. I battle remembering that, and I'm sure that's your battle. But the battle to remind ourselves starts with us. And when we've reminded ourselves, we need to remind other people. Hey, don't forget about the Lord. Let me finish with this one. Number five, it's a choice. When you want to remember God, that is a choice. How we spend our time is always based on choices. Can I give you a horrible personal example? One of these times, I'm hoping somebody says, "No, you don't have to, Pastor. That's okay. We don't want to see what a horrible person you are. But thanks, that's all right. That's your flesh coming out. I forgive you." When I was younger, my cousin called me up one time, and I don't know, he wanted to go to a haunted house or something. I forget. But he said, "Hey, would you mind watching my kids? Me and my wife, I got these two tickets to go to the whatever." And, I was like, I think I got homework or, I really wanted to do my hair today and I got a You know, oh, don't laugh. I had hair back then. Jeez. Oh, gosh. But anyway, so I said, really, you know, I don't have time. I really ain't got time. And he said, all right, that's okay. Well, 5 minutes later, he calls me back. And he says, hey, I couldn't find anybody to watch my kids. And I was like, hey, you know, yeah, I'm busy, you know. And he says, no, it's okay. It's all right. He goes, my wife really didn't want to go. She's going to stay home. But I still have 2 tickets. You want to go with me? Yeah, come and get me. And so, yes, I know, I'm a horrible person. Hang your head in shame. Okay, that's long enough. Listen, I give you the idea because of this. You only have time for things that you make time for. Did you get that point of it? That's what I'm trying to say. You only have time for things that you make time for. And the problem is it's a choice. It is a choice. You know, like victims, we become like victims. Oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I just can't do this. I can't do that. I don't have time for spiritual things. I don't have time for God. I'm just so busy. I got this going on and that going on. And this is, oh, life just got me all frazzled. Do you know why life has got you so frazzled? Because it's by your choice you've made yourself that busy. Oh, please give me more than that. Unless that's convicting you, that's you, and you don't want to say nothing. But here's the problem. It's a choice to make our lives that busy. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. It's probably one of the greatest biblical examples. Luke chapter 10, starting verse 38. You know the story of Mary and Martha? It was the brother of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. And then in Luke 10, starting verse 38, that happened as they went. He entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him, Jesus, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him, and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And then he says, therefore, tell her to come help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, Martha. It's like the Brady Bunch, you know. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. You are so worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. When life gets frazzled with stuff, we get to be like Martha, and we forget about what's important. We can sit there and we can say, you know, Lord, here we go. Just for example, hypothetically, not that this would be the case, let's take Matt and Annie. Oh, this would be good. I've been thinking about this for a long time. Don't forget, submit to those that have rule over you. So let's just say, for example, that they've got a camper and they've got, you know, the boats and the jet skis and all this stuff. And, of course, they got 9 kids, and so they got to have extra tents and all this stuff. So anyway, here it is. And so here we go. Okay, it's summertime. All right, we don't have any kids in school. We don't have no daycare. I don't have this. I don't have that. So we need to go camping because this is our plot in life for the summer for 3 months. So, okay, Matt, get off your butt. Get the camper ready. Get it hooked up. Let's get down to the campgrounds. Got to get the boat in the water. We got fishing to do. We want to do all this stuff. We got s'mores. We got chocolate. We got all this stuff. I can't pick up the ice. You got to get this stuff. You're a big guy. And he's sitting there reading God's word. Get off your butt and get this stuff going. We got stuff to do. We become so busy with the stuff of life, we forget what the most important thing is. Amen. And that's what Jesus said Mary had. Mary was sitting at his feet listening to his word. That's important. Because what does Paul tell Timothy? Physical exercise, it does have profit. It profits little. But what profits to everything? Godliness. Godliness is profitable unto all things. When you apply God's word to your life, it'll profit you in everything that you do. Does that make sense? And so that's where we need to be. It's not wrong to go on vacation. It's not wrong to have a camper. It's not wrong to have a fire and s'mores. And it's not wrong to go fishing and catch all this fish. And man, I'm looking forward to doing that at some point this summer. I'm going to do that stuff. I mean, good gravy. It's not wrong to do that. But don't make that the focus of your summer. Don't forget to take Jesus with you. Make him the focus of your summer. Can I ask you a question? When you go on vacation, let's say you're going to Paris. Well, I'm going to Paris this summer. Well, that's awesome. But are you looking for your neighbor? Does that get you? Are you looking for your neighbor? Well, my neighbor, what the heck are you talking about? Who's my neighbor? Well, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, do you remember that? This guy gets a tar beat out of him. There's a bunch of group, different people, you know, the Jews and the Pharisees and these passerbys and all this stuff. These robbers come and beat him up half to death. And all these people pass him by. And this Samaritan comes to help a Jew. Of course, in the Bible, the Jews hated the Samaritans. None of them were good. And that's why the parable of the Good Samaritan was so hard for the Pharisees to understand. Because here's a Samaritan that comes and helps this guy. Patches him up, takes him to an inn, and takes care of him. Then you know what he says? He goes, well, who's my neighbor? And what did Jesus say? Anybody that has a need. So when I say when you go on vacation and you're going to Paris, are you looking for God's neighbor that he's placed in front of you? Well, what do you mean? I'm going on vacation. God says that you're to take care of any need that you could take care of. That is your neighbor. Love your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you. So here's the idea. When's the last time you loved? What do you mean, Len? When's the last time I loved? Well, the Bible talks about love. Love is an action, not a word. Love is not some ooey-gooey feeling. Oh my gosh, I love chocolate so much. It's not an ooey-gooey feeling. Love is an action. The Samaritan man saw that this guy had a need. He met his need. The Samaritan loved. When it comes to loving, the Bible talks about this in 1 John and many other scriptures. Peter talks about it. If you see a need and you can meet that need, you've loved. If you got 8 coats in your closet and somebody you know doesn't have a coat and you give them one of your coats, you've met a need. You've loved. Missionaries need to be supported financially, and they need to be supported through prayer. When's the last time you supported a missionary? And when's the last time you prayed for him? That's the last time you've loved. Listen, don't forget to take Jesus with you everywhere you go. It's not about what we want. Yes, God will allow us to enjoy some time and some getaway, and we need rest and all that stuff. But don't forget to take Jesus with you. He should be with us all the time. I'm glad that Christ takes time out of his day to be with me all the time, whether I recognize him or not. So, you can still come to Sunday church, Sunday school, Wednesday night, and you can still lose sight of Jesus. You can do all those things as well. Just like Christmas, you can go through the Christmas season and still forget Jesus. And in speaking of the church, Jesus said in Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5, he said, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." What's that next word? Remember. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the first works. See, by this time at near 100 AD, most of the Ephesians now were second generation Christians. And so they had kept the purity of doctrine. They had kept all their level of service to Christ. But they lacked one thing, and that was a deep devotion to him. How the church today should heed that warning. Christ wants our hearts, not just our outward service. Don't forget what God has done. And in doing what he is doing and what he will do for us. This summer, this winter, as you graduate, as you go to your job, as you go this week, Monday, whatever, don't forget to take Jesus with you. Question, have you ever had Jesus to begin with? Or have you just forgotten Jesus and you need to remember? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for our day today. Thank you for our time. Lord, we thank you for the ability and the opportunity that you've given us to take of your supper. And so I pray, Lord, as we give this invitation, if there's somebody here who's never come in contact with your Son, let today be the day of salvation. Let today be the day that they not only can take them with them this summer, but take them with them the rest of their lives and into eternity. I pray, Lord, that through this invitation, if somebody doesn't know your Son, Jesus Christ, let today be that day. Let them come as we have folks with their Bible willing to show them what it takes to have heaven and eternal life. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Every head bowed.